As I was saying on the other side of the tape, Scott and Doug stayed for a couple of hours before going home. This morning after breakfast, we organized a cousin parade, had all the cousins march up to the brow of a hill while I took moving pictures of them. We plan to make this an annual event. Each year we'll have a cousin parade, and as the years go by, we'll see how the cousins grow and how different they look at each family reunion. It's now 10:30 a.m., and most everyone has dispersed to some kind of an activity that they have organized up here. I'm thinking of going back to Provo and seeing if I can get the movie projector fixed so we can see the movies. Today is July 2nd, Wednesday. It's about 8 p.m. I went to town the other day as I intended, and bought a new Kodak movie deck. I think it's number 355. It had a list price somewhere around $170. I got it at Kmart for $152. But in addition to that, I bought a movie camera, a new one that takes the Super 8 film, has an 8-to-1 zoom, a f1.7 lens, and a host of other features. It was at Kmart, listed around $200. I got it for $180. And I also bought a movie editor, so I really went way out. Yesterday we held our annual stockholders meeting for H. Tracy Hall Incorporated. Re-elected the old directors to serve for another year and took care of other business and had some discussions about various things. We decided to pay the four vice presidents who had traveled here for the meeting, 15 cents a mile for the travel, plus a $20 per diem for a total of 5 days. We scheduled a meeting of the vice presidents to discuss technical operations of the company and possible things we might manufacture or ways to improve our presses and whatnot. But yesterday at the stockholders meeting, I'd started to feel sick and felt worse as the day progressed, and I've been in bed all day today with a sore throat and hot, runny nose and throat and just not feeling good. I've been thinking about building a press, a uniaxial type press, in which I use push-pull cylinders and have the push-pull cylinders in the center region. And as you push to one side, you'll pull a platen down against a platen and could compress a piston cylinder device in there or a belt-type device together, while the other side opened up. And then when you took out that particular run, let's say on the B side, and extracted the contents of the high pressure chamber in a belt, for example, the other side could be under pressure and temperature making diamonds or doing something else. And then after the B belt were reloaded, it would be placed back, and by then the cycle on the other, on the A side that was under pressure, could be up, and you'd shift the press to the other side to release the pressure there, and then it would put the pressure on the B side. And this could all be in a single unit and make quite a nifty thing. I made a little sketch of this on a blue recipe card. It was rather warm here today. Some people at the camp went into Provo and said it was really sizzling in Provo today. This worries Ida Rose a little bit about how her greenhouse and plants and lawn are doing, and she may run down to our house tomorrow just to see how things are. Marty came in to talk to me today about controls for our presses. He thinks we could make a good interface with an HP programmable desktop calculator He's had quite a bit of experience doing this sort of thing. We'll discuss it some more later. Tracy Jr. was also in on the discussion. And later in the day, I was talking to David about these possibilities also. We're all using our leisure time this week, and the nice mountain and pine tree surroundings to loosen the cobwebs out of her mind, and we're away from the pressures of our everyday work and world, and hope we can come up with some good ideas to help the progress of our family company, which is called H. Tracy Hall Incorporated, out of our experience this week up here. I've been thinking of a less complicated belt than that I originally designed 20 years ago while I was at General Electric Research Lab. And also auxiliary equipment for putting the belt in its proper place and unloading it with a separate press and other things that will make the ease of operation much more smooth and simpler than the way I used to do it. I also think that I can eliminate the complicated gasket arrangement that I used to use. Since my success with tetrahedral and cubic presses, where I let the gasket form automatically from an oversized cube, I think I could probably do the same thing in the belt apparatus, and this would be a great saving in materials and machining costs of machining the gaskets. I dislike being sick, and I've always been very impatient when I am, yet it always seems that when I am confined to bed with nothing much to do, that my mind really comes up with new ideas. Might be that the Lord blesses me when I get sick, because many of the ideas I've come up with during the past 25 years have occurred when I've been sick, and it's usually the flu. I've been highly susceptible to sore throats, colds, and the flu all my life. Today is the 17th of August, 1975, and there hasn't been anything recorded on this oral diary, as near as I can tell, since about the 3rd of July. I'll try to recall some of the things that have gone on. The children went home one by one. Shirlene and Dan stayed on the longest. And I guess they must have left for home sometime around the 18th of July. Everyone enjoyed the vacation at the BYU family camp at Aspen Grove and seemed to want to do it again next year. It worked out real well to get all the stockholders of the company together, talk things over, have a family reunion, and a little bit of vacation at the same time. One thing that happened, Gary Spencer, Iola and Tom's son, was married in the Ogden Temple on Tuesday, the 15th of July. Ida Rose was sick that day. Nancy and I went up to the reception in the evening. Shirlene also went with us, and he seemed to have a nice bride. She was from Nova Scotia. We're having a lot of trouble with our lawn, along with other people in the neighborhood. There is an insect called the bill bug, and the larva of this insect is chewing off the grass at the roots and really devastating the lawns. It's just ferocious this year, and we hardly know what we're going to do. The various sprays don't seem to be particularly effective. On the 21st of July, I went to a meeting at the Hotel Utah with Richard Stratford and Bill Pope and John Bush. John Bush is a son of Vannevar Bush. He has been, and perhaps still is, the president of Millipore Corporation, which has been a very successful scientific enterprise. This John Bush is sort of freelancing it with Bert Jolas and his company in New York, advising him with respect to Mega Diamond Industries, the marketing organization formed between Diamond Distributors Incorporated of New York City and Mega Diamond Corporation of Provo. DDI has put in about $1 million into the sales organization and hasn't got off the ground, and John Bush was out here to try and suggest some other arrangements for keeping this company going. His main idea was to form one new company in which the Jolas brothers' interest would also be part of Mega Diamond. We didn't like the idea too well. That problem is still up in the air. DDI will withdraw its support, apparently, and I don't quite know how the marketing organization is going to continue. There was a Tracy family reunion again, descendants of Heel and Henry Tracy in Yukon, Idaho, on Saturday the 26th of July. We went last year, that is, Ida Rose and I went, but this year, for some reason, I guess Ida Rose was still sick. Ida Rose had about a month of sickness in which she had a pleurisy, I guess you called it.
She had some kind of infection, and then I got pleurisy afterwards.
Which is really bad. She couldn't find a comfortable spot to sleep or anything. I've been working quite a bit on our farm lately. A little over $2,000 worth of equipment to go with the tractor and an independent gadget called a weed eater, a 3-horsepower, 2-cycle gasoline engine you carry slung over your shoulder that spins nylon thongs at terrific speed, or else a steel cutter at terrific speed, to cut down weeds. And this has been very effective for cutting down ditch bank weeds and going in among the vegetables in our garden on the Payson farm, which really became overrun with weeds the past month. One of the main gadgets that I got was a rototiller that fits on this Model 9N Ford tractor that is really effective. It's a Kubota built in Japan, works very well. I've also had to do some repair work on the tractor myself, work I had done last year at tractor fixing place being unsatisfactory. I bought a new governor for it in Salt Lake City and fixed the carburetor. The two work together, and now the tractor works quite well. I harvested caraway seed at the farm and hand threshed it and cleaned it up, and we ended up with about 4.5 pounds of caraway seed from a small patch. Caraway seeds seem to do very well on the farm, and we're wondering if you could plant the whole farm in this material. We'll probably experiment a little bit with caraway seed before this year, next year's over. Our farmer has now harvested his wheat. Carlos Schramm leases our farm for $1,000 a year, all except for about a half an acre. And his wheat crop seemed to have been pretty good this year. His corn is very slow, as it is all over the county, and doesn't look very good. The eastern field was in corn, and the western field was in a hard winter wheat. We also decided to put the farm in the green belt, and I went down to the county courthouse and filled out the various papers and had them recorded so that we are in the so-called green belt situation with our farm now. It was graduation from BYU for Virginia on Friday, August 15th. Otto Rose and I both went to the morning exercises in the Marriott Center at 9:30. I took quite a few pictures. I hope they turn out. Otto Rose wasn't feeling too good in the afternoon, so I went alone to the college graduation, which was held in the Dion Concert Hall of the Fine Arts Center.
Gregory, she graduated summa cum laude, and was 11th in her
class.
I think it was her
11th in her education department class. Virginia has succeeded in getting a job in the Provost School District. She begins teaching first grade at the Mazur School. Brother Monroe Gallier will be her principal. She is very fortunate to get this job because there are so many applicants, so many teachers graduated, and so few jobs here in Provo. On the 9th of August, all of us went to the Payson Farm at 8 a.m. to pick pie cherries, Payson Welfare Farm of the Sharon East and Edgemont Stakes to pick sour cherries or pie cherries. Their mechanical shaker that they used last year was not available this year. The church doesn't own one. They'd rented it or borrowed it or something. So these cherries had to be picked by hand. We went out again on Thursday, the 14th of August, and membership of the stake, I guess, has been picking those things for about 3 weeks, trying to do it all by hand. It's quite a job. Very interesting the way they do it. They have great big metal containers filled with water, well, about three-quarters filled with water. As you pick these sour cherries, you dump your bucket in the water, and the water is very cold from deep wells, and the cherries stay in there, and when these containers are filled, then they take them back to the farm headquarters and flush them out with the well water to wash over all the leaves and all the little particle bits in the cherries. And then they're hauled over to the Muir Roberts Company in Payson, where they are put through an automatic pitting machine, and they're sorted and inspected and whatnot, and automatically weighed into what looked like, what, three-gallon containers. And they fill a container about three-quarters full, or perhaps a little fuller, with the cherries, and then automatically one-fifth additional weight is added in the form of sugar. And then a man puts on a lid, which he taps down with a rubber mallet. Then they're taken to the freezer and frozen. I was told that it's only about 4 hours from picking until they're frozen. And then these containers are mainly purchased by bakeries. Some of the containers I've heard are purchased by repackers who then may can these cherries into smaller cans. Wes and I have been working on the press at the shed. I haven't been getting in much work lately. Spent quite a lot of time at the farm. And we're still making progress on this new 300-ton cubic press, Roman numeral 2, in which I have a number of new innovations. Another recent thing that happened is that I resigned from all my positions held with Mega Diamond, DBT, Dion, and any associated companies. The date on that resignation was 28th of July, 1975. I addressed the letter to Bill J. Pope and M. Duane Horton, Mega Diamond, DBT, and Dion Companies, 275 West, 2320 North, Provo, Utah, 84601.
The letter says, "Gentlemen, effective immediately, I hereby resign from any and all positions held by me in Mega Diamond, DBT, and Dion Companies. Sincerely, H. Tracy Hall." I've been wanting to resign from Mega Diamond and allied organizations for some time. As a matter of fact, I had a letter written by an attorney about 3 years ago, but hadn't resigned until just recently. McCartney Manufacturing Company, Baxter Springs, Kansas, is working on an order for a press to go to Moscow, Russia, to Thermal Physical Institute there. The order has been placed by an international trading company known as Codivintech, or something like that. Its main office is in Paris, France, but they're dealing through an office in Los Angeles. Codivintech recently paid a $50,000 down payment to McCartney, so it looks like the go-ahead on this press is for real. And a press similar to Mega Diamond's 1,200-ton press is to be built for them. I am working with McCartney again on some design changes that have got to be made. And I'm scheduled to go to Russia and install it on its completion and receive a total of $10,000 for my efforts. Mega Diamond is negotiating for a deal with Ingersoll Rand Company on the development of suitable Mega Diamond material for use in percussion type mining. Any place you have a relatively short drill hole, a deep hole drilling like oil well drilling would not be included in this. If a contract is developed suitable to all parties concerned, I will direct the project, and at this point I have agreed to do this for $50,000 for 1 year. Our son David's boss at the Research Center of Ingersoll Rand in Princeton, New Jersey, whose name is Wally McGahn, M-C, capital G-A-H-N, is the person who has been trying to get this thing going. Bill Pope and Richard Stratford and Bert Jollis and his brother met with Wally McGahn and with a fellow named Carl Horton, who is Wally McGahn's boss and who is in charge of all research for Ingersoll Rand Company everywhere. And at Ingersoll Rand's headquarters in New Jersey to discuss a contract. I think this happened last week or the week before. Today, August 17th, in Sunday school, Virginia sang a song as a part, I guess it was the entire part of the worship through music exercise that is held in Sunday school nowadays. She sang the Lord's...
I know my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer lives, Cecil B. Gates version. And she sang very lovely. Sister Barbara Taylor accompanied her, and I was just thinking to myself, and Mom was too, that we're really proud to have such a daughter. Nancy has now quit working for Jewel Magic and is selling clothing at Jeans West in the University Mall at Orem. She makes more money and has longer hours than she had at Jewel Magic. The evening of the 15th, Virginia had a little graduation party. Sort of a hamburger cookout on the south side on our terrace and other goodies, homemade ice cream. She invited a number of people, but not too many could come for various reasons. There was John Hall and his girlfriend named Sarah, and Jeannie Hall Brooks and her husband Richard, and Virginia and her date Scott Quist, and Mom and I. They played croquet, and I think everybody had a good time, and the food was good. For a graduation present, we gave Virginia two legal-sized filing cabinets and Pentaflex folders for one of them, and I guess there are a few other odds and ends we got her in the way of clothing, shoes, a graduation dress. Otter Rose has been working around the yard pulling weeds now that she's better and has got the yard back in pretty good shape again. We had some beautiful apricots this year, only about a bushel and a half, but they were large and beautiful. Otter Rose canned some whole in pint jars. Did you make juice also?
No, I made 6 quarts of juice. 45 pints of the whole
apricot, or well, halves, apricot halves. 26 small containers of apricot jam. We've also been getting beets, squash, string beans, cucumbers, and some tomatoes from the garden. She's had quite a number of orchids in bloom. Just a week ago, there were 7 orchids in our living room. Most of them Thalanopsis, all in bloom at the same time. Right now, there's just 1 purple Thalanopsis that's in bloom. We had Tom Toyne over for Sunday dinner today. Virginia went to Salt Lake to have dinner at her boyfriend's home, Scott Quist, and going to sacrament meeting up there with him. We had a very fine sacrament meeting in our own ward today. The twins, Gary and Larry Field, have returned home from their respective missions and gave very excellent reports in church tonight. Those two boys have really blossomed into very extraordinary young men. Yesterday at 7:30 a.m., at Timpanogos Camp near BYU's Aspen Grove Family Camp, our Pleasant View First Ward had a ward breakfast. Actually, you could have gone up the day before for games and fun and stayed overnight, and people were encouraged to do so, but we just went up for the breakfast. They served over 200 people at the breakfast. We came home shortly after the breakfast was over. Today is August 22nd. It's about 10:30 p.m. Ida Rose and I just got home from the farm in Payson, where we used the tractor to pull up quite a few, 10 or so, steel fence posts that we had a chicken wire running along that was supposed to be the support for climbing beans, but which turned out to be the support for climbing morning glory. The weeds had really been bad along there. We took it out so that we could run the rototiller across there and clean out the weeds. Wednesday at about 3 p.m., Chase Allred and I went with Lori Free down to the Moab area to a copper deposit area where he has some 20 claims, and helped him do some blasting of the rock and things to do with his annual responsibilities to maintain the claim. It was pretty enjoyable. It was very enjoyable. It was very pleasant, cool weather, beautiful skies and clouds. We saw two buck deer, one of them tremendously large thing with the biggest set of antlers that any of us had ever seen on a deer. And the other one also had a good set of antlers, but not nearly like the tremendous set that this one big buck had. And we saw it while taking Lori's four-wheel drive pickup truck up what is known as the Entrada Formation. It had quite a tilt to it, and we climbed it for a distance of several miles. I started serious work today on a couple of articles that I need to write. I agreed to write these articles about 1 year ago for a series in which Bryant Rossiter of Eastman Kodak Company is the editor. I am to do a section on high-pressure apparatus and also an introduction to the particular volume. Last Wednesday at noontime, Chase Allred and I went down to one of the whirlpool-type baths that they have in the physical education department for treating athletes with strained muscles and sprained ankles. Chase's hip had been bothering him, and mine had, and my leg also. And he just happened to be going down there when I met him, and he invited me along. My left hip and leg have been a problem to me for almost a year now. I saw Dr. Nephi Kazarian about this, I think it was around Christmas time of last year. He x-rayed the hip region and couldn't see anything the matter, and sort of blamed the problem on a bad back that I've had for well over 20 years. Kind of a nerve problem, I think, causing pain and discomfort down there. The Whirlpool bath, which was at 108 degrees Fahrenheit, didn't seem to help much that day, but the following day my leg and hip felt much better. I ought to do more of that. It may help it. Today is Sunday, the 31st of August, 1975. Right after Sunday school today, Ida Rose and I and Nancy and Virginia went to Ogden. Ida Rose had prepared most of the food, corn, ice cream, rolls, sloppy joes, fruit salad. We arrived at Ogden, I guess, about
10 to 15 to 11.
Sometime around 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we met at Heber's house up on
one of the presidents.
Don't remember the street, but it's Shadow Brook. He and Jim live straight across the street from each other. And most of the Langford family tribe was there. Ernest F. Langford was 87 years old he will be on the 5th of September. Heber will be, it'll be his birthday on the 3rd of September, and he will be 47 years of age. Gary Spencer and his new wife were there, as was also Tommy Spencer. We stopped off to see Gene and Joyce a while, just for a brief period afterwards. Picked up a whole case of toilet paper and a whole case of napkins. I guess we'd picked up the
toilet paper
about a week ago.
And paper towels.
Paper towels today we picked up. Paid Joyce for that. And then we're on our way back to Provo. We also visited Jim and Melba's son, Harvey, who has been extremely sick, spending many days in the hospital. He has multiple sclerosis, something that's just hit him on returning home from his mission. Well, one of the things that Ida Rose took was corn from our farm, which was very delicious. Yesterday, Saturday, I installed a light for plants, a fluorescent light to give daylight type light to the plants that Ida Rose has hanging in the partition, which is just a bunch of pipes running between the ceiling and a little railing between the kitchen and the stairs leading to downstairs. Well, over that, I spent most of the day installing this fluorescent plant light. It was hard to install because our attic is so crowded, especially since the cooling ducts were installed up there with our evaporative type cooler. As a matter of fact, in order to get back to where I could thread a wire through the ceiling, I had to take one of the pipes out and then put it back again. Friday evening, Ida Rose and I went out to the farm and got the corn that was used in Ogden today at the little celebration for Grandpa Lankford's birthday. Tomorrow we're planning to go to the farm and get more corn, and Ida Rose will freeze it. This past week I've spent most of the mornings dictating into a Stennerate dictating machine at the university a paper on high pressure apparatus that I'm preparing as a chapter in a volume to be edited by Bryant S. Rossiter of Eastman Kodak. Last Monday we had a visit from Jim Hall, his wife Maxine, and their daughter Tina, who is about 14 years of age. Jim Hall joined the church about a year ago. He is an examiner in the U.S. Patent Office in Washington, D.C. His home is in McLean, Virginia. Prior to his joining the church, he was an elder and an influential person in the Presbyterian Church there. About 2 years ago, he came to Provo with another patent examiner whose first name was Don. I've forgotten his last name. They came at the suggestion of Mega Diamond's patent attorney, who was new then. His name is Ross Workman. Prior to that, we're using Stoll and Stoll in Washington, D.C. Ross had mentioned that if you're having some trouble getting your message across as to what your patent is, that it is possible to bring patent examiners out in a kind of a teaching situation. Dwayne Horton arranged for a trip down the Colorado River from near the Flaming Gorge Dam to point, I think, was about 7 miles downstream. We took them on this trip. We had family prayer and blessing on the food and things of that nature. And Ross had previously taken them through Temple Square. And the Halls rode back to Provo with our family. And all the way, they just wanted to talk about religion. And we ended up talking about religion until about 1:30 in the morning. And then we had sort of forgotten all about this. Ross, workman, making trips to Washington occasionally on patent cases, not necessarily our own. He works on patents for a number of people. He's a member of the firm, of the law firm called Strong, Pullman, and Fox in Salt Lake City. But time went on, and one day I was in my office at school, and the phone rang, and I answered the phone, as I usually do, only as I happened to be a little bit abrupt. I said, "Tracy Hall," and he said, "Tracy, this is Jim." Well, now, a year had gone by, and Jim Hall, he said, and for a moment I was really puzzled, and Jim, how are you, Jim? And stalling for time, I was. I remember who this was. Well, it finally dawned on me. He says, "Trace, where have you been? I've been trying to get hold of you for 2 weeks." He says, "I'm now a member of the True Church." Mm-hmm. And he was very excited and delighted about having joined the church, and he wanted to tell me that I was responsible for his joining. Well, I had never felt that kind of responsibility in this matter, but in talking to Ross Workman, Ross thought an important factor in his joining was that he wanted to observe a real live scientist who was a Mormon and see if this guy really believed in his religion, and he had concluded that I did. Now, Jim had known of me because he had worked on the General Electric patents. He'd been the reviewing man, the examiner, in those early days, almost 20 years ago. And of course, I've patented things. There was a real string of them there at General Electric, and I've filed patents in this diamond making and high pressure area. And Jim Hall was aware of those, and I suppose had some admiration for what I had done there. And anyway, all of us were very happy that a man of his caliber and of his position in the church, or I'm sorry, in the Presbyterian Church, would be willing to make the switch. Well, we had a nice time. They had breakfast and lunch at our home, and we had an enjoyable several hours of conversation. And then they left for Salt Lake, where they were going to stay with Ross for a day or two before returning to Washington. They had come out this way on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and gone to the genealogy library, and then had gone to the various national parks and national monuments in the Utah area. Also had spent some time in Colorado. Virginia has got herself a school teaching job at Mazur School. She was worried about getting a job, and here she has a fine one right next door. She's teaching first grade, has about 32 students. Her schoolroom was in rather poor shape, and she spent a lot of time before school actually started over there cleaning, straightening it around, and organizing. The girl who had taught first grade last year, whose last name was Bills, had suddenly died. A very sad thing. She was engaged, about ready to be married, suddenly took ill, and shortly thereafter died.
there were two or three openings at that Maisie school, and Virginia was very fortunate to get a job there. Well, we've been looking for materials to build a shed on the farm. We found, through an ad in the paper, some lumber approximately 4 by 6 inch by 20 feet long. These happen to have come out of a huge wooden water conduit used by Utah Power and Light Company on one of their plants near Preston, Idaho. A couple of BYU students had got onto this and were trying to sell this lumber for $5 per 20-foot length, and I bought 11 lengths. Apparently, Utah Power and Light had diverted the water into a new steel pipe, and then this pipe, on drying out, didn't have any water in it anymore, shrunk and collapsed. And there's supposed to be 8 miles of this up in Idaho. I tested the wood out, though, and the old wood definitely does not have the strength of new wood. It splits easily when you drive a nail in it, and just does not have the physical strength of new wood. But still, I might be able to use it either as skids for machinery or in building a shed.
I wonder if it'd break up under the pressure, under heavy machinery.
It'd probably be okay. There's a grass in our lawn that we've noticed before that seems to be growing a little more rapidly now that the bill bug is eating all the other kind of grass. And we've been wondering if we can take this